So I wonder what you know about farming. I don't know much. I will say what I do know, I've either picked up in reading books and watching TV shows or movies. Most of them are fictional, so I don't actually really know if anything that I've seen or read is actually accurate. The biggest thing that I think I've learned is that it is important to plough the soil before planting so that you can get a good harvest, and subsequently to always be ready to collect the harvest. And so the title of my message today is Always Be Ready. And the reason I talk about farming and ploughing the soil and sowing seeds is because the scripture that I want to look at today is the parable of the sower. So if you've got your Bible with you, I encourage you to join me in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 9 and then the explanation that Jesus gives in verses 18 to 23. So Matthew 13, 1 to 9. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still, other seed fell on the good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen." And then if we jump to verse 18 for the explanation. So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. And so this is a parable that I'm sure many of us have heard before. Before I unpack it, I want to look at some context. And so most of the crowd that Jesus was speaking to were Galilean farmers, and their land would have been where what we know today to be Palestine. Now, the thing about Palestinian soil was it looked quite good on the surface, but it wasn't very deep. When you go down a little bit, you start to get rocks. And so it was vitally important for you to actually go through and plough that soil if you were to reap a harvest. And so combining a basic understanding of harvesting or ploughing soil and this parable says not ploughing, the birds eat the seed, it's not deep, and it's choked by life. And you think about 2020, there's been a lot of opportunities for that to happen to us. And then when you plough the soil, it's good soil, which leads to a bountiful harvest, 30, 60, or 100 times more than what was sown. And to put it into context, in that Palestinian soil, reaping tenfold was considered an amazing harvest. So we're talking really, really fruitful. And now, if you've ever heard this passage preached on before, you're probably thinking that I'm about to go and talk about how we can become good soil. Now, it is important that, you know, we are people of prayer, people of the word, that we meditate on the word and on the promises of God, that we spend time in worship and gathering together to worship and be encouraged and supported. But I want to look at this parable with a different perspective today. I want to focus on the internals of how we make ourselves become good soil. I want to focus on an external act from this story. And so I want to focus on the sower. And in this story, the sower sows. I'm not going to say that really fast 10 times because it's going to end up really badly. Their job wasn't to go and check the soil. They didn't walk up to the soil and go, "Hey, soil, are you good today? Or are things a little rocky?" No, their job and their focus was to walk along and sow the seed. And I think sometimes we can be put off by thinking, "Oh, I'm not in a good place, so I'm not gonna sow because how's that gonna work?" Or we sit back and we look at someone and go, "Oh, are they good soil? Or are they, you know, a bit of a rocky soil?" The fact is, for our own faith journey, it's our responsibility for our faith growth. It's our responsibility to hear a sermon preached and to meditate on it, to test it by the Word of God, and then to take on the things that are revealed to us. When we read the Word, we meditate on that. When we speak with God, we need to communicate with Him and we listen to His voice and we need to learn to recognize His voice. So our faith growth, our spiritual growth is a responsibility of ours and the Holy Spirit within us. When it comes to the growth of other people, we entrust that to the Holy Spirit. That, however, does not mean that we are inactive. What that means is that through our life, the way that we live, the way that we interact with people, through our life and through our words, we are always sowing seeds in the world around us and to the people around us. And so the sower's focus, and so whenever I talk about the sower today, take that on board as me speaking directly to you and to myself. The sower's focus is to make sure that they are willing to sow and that they are ready when the opportunity arises. So point one, we need to be willing to sow or to share our life with people. And so we sow through the way that we live and how we interact with people. And as we sow, the Holy Spirit plows the soil that is the person's life. And the person hearing what we sow will decide whether they embrace what we share with them, or whether they reject it. It's not our job to convert people or to, you know, single out someone and say, "Right, you need to do this better in your life to be more Christ-like." That's not our job. We live our life as an example. We offer encouragement and speak life and hope and joy into people's lives. And we allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation in that person's life. We don't know where someone is at, whether they're a Christian, a not yet Christian, or doesn't want to be a Christian. So it's important for us to meet them where they are at, to be in the world, but not of the world, to live the light in the darkness around us. We can't decide for someone if they are good soil or not good soil. And so we just need to sow the gospel that is on our hearts, the revelation that we have experienced. It is our job to sow that into the people and the world around us. And in my life, I've discovered three outcomes when it comes to sowing the seed of the gospel, whether through words or through life. And I want to share a story from each of these. So the first of these is sometimes you don't see a response at all. I think back to 2010 and the uni ministry that I was involved in Geelong. We spent 2 weeks across the schoolies period in Torquay, just walking around assisting people. If you've ever heard of Red Frogs, it's very similar to Red Frogs. We were probably a little bit more intentional in actively sharing the gospel. It was a combination of life and sharing. But over the course of this two-week period, one of the other guys and myself, we ran into the same group of teenagers from country Victoria the first couple of days that we were down there. We ran a courtesy bus and they joined us every night. They wanted a lift back to where they were staying, and so we did that. And then about day three or day four, we ran into them at the beach. We played some beach cricket with them during the day. And we'd given them our phone number just saying, hey, look, if you need the courtesy bus, give us a call. And so we get a call at 10 a.m. On the Saturday morning, thinking, well, who would want the courtesy bus at 10 a.m. on a Saturday? And they're like, oh, we don't want the bus. We just want to know if you guys want to come around and hang out for the day. And we're just like, that's pretty cool. So our life and the way that we had lived, we hadn't judged them or spoken negatively about them because they were there partying all the time or doing anything like that. We just hung out with them. And so we went round to where they were staying and they pulled out their Super Nintendos, old school gaming consoles. And so we sat there and we were playing Super Nintendo with them all afternoon. Now, I did go looking for this item, but I couldn't find it. But we knew that we'd done something right when they had created a banner for their group in year 12 that they had at school, and they all signed it and they gave it to us to hang on to say thank you for all that you've done for us across this weekend. Now, I haven't heard anything from any of those guys since 2010. So I don't know whether anything that we spoke about with them resonated, whether it sunk into their spirit and where they're at now. But I don't need to worry about that. I've sown the seed. And the Holy Spirit will water that seed throughout life. And it may take an extended period of time. So I want to say it's not in vain the way that we live. And this comes to the second point, that sometimes you see a response, but it's further down the track than you may expect or want. I look at my family. When I first gave my life to Jesus in 2008, it was pretty much just me going solo in my family. There were some questions asked about whether or not I'd gone a little bit crazy. Was this a cry for attention? Things like that. And very quickly they realized, oh no, this is something that Jimmy's serious about. And I've been praying for my family for the last almost 13 years to come to know Jesus and to live a life that honours him and worships him. And it's only probably been in the last couple of years where some of my family have started asking questions, started going to church or returning to church after a long period of time. And so we may pray, we may share our faith, we may live our life in a way that honours them and they see the transformation, but their response to that may not happen overnight, and that's okay. Another example of this was the same uni ministry back in Geelong. We'd often, every so often, we'd go out on campus and we'd talk to people and say, hi, I'm Jimmy from this particular club, and they'd be like, oh, you're a Christian club, aren't you? And it's like, yeah, and they're like, not interested. Didn't even know what we wanted to say. We were often just doing surveys to ask them about life, were they feeling supported at uni and things like that. And there was one guy who was particularly abrupt with me. And I was like, look, you know, don't want to hold you up, but, you know, if you ever get into a spot of bother, need some help or just someone to talk to, you know, my email address is on here. You can contact me. Now, I expected that this guy was just going to throw that in the bin the first chance he got, or maybe even burn it, who knows. Fast forward 4 years. I'd moved away from Geelong. I wasn't at Deakin Uni anymore. I'd forgotten about most of the people that I'd had interactions like that with. And then I get a message from this guy going, you probably don't remember me. I was a bit of a jerk to you, truth be told, last time I spoke to you. But you just, you know, encouraged me and said there is hope in life and that Jesus loves me. He's like, I wasn't receptive at all. But you gave me your card and just said, if you need anything, reach out. And he'd been going through a lot in his life, ended up in a hotel in another state in Australia, and was putting something in the drawer and saw one of the Gideon's Bibles. and opened it up, and there was a verse that I'd obviously written on the back of the card from one of the, I think it was John 3:16 actually. And so he flicked to that and read it, and he just said all of a sudden he just had this deep sense in himself that that was what was missing in his life, and that he gave his life to Jesus alone in a hotel room and wanted to email me. And I'm incredibly blessed by that. I had forgotten about it, but getting that message was a great reminder to me that just because we don't see a response straight away doesn't mean that we never will see a response. And then the third one is sometimes you see a response immediately. And that same sort of survey that I just talked about, there was another guy that I did that with, and on the spot he was like, this is exactly what I feel like I've been missing in my life. How do I accept Jesus? And so I had the ability to sit and to pray with him and to encourage him to embrace Jesus. And so I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. We don't have to have this perfectly written out spiel on how to communicate our faith. We don't have to have a checklist on how we do it. We just be ourselves. We live our lives. We live from the revelation that we have received from the Holy Spirit. And so we shouldn't let our willingness to sow be affected. Don't be discouraged. You've sown a seed that the Holy Spirit can water. And so we need to consider, what are we sowing into the lives of the people around us? Is it positive? Does it point to Jesus? Is it life-giving, and does it shine the light? Particularly in times like this of 2020, we should be beacons of hope, joy, peace, love. You know, we are a Christian community that works together for justice, mercy, and faith. We courageously love and empower people to become like Jesus. We need to be willing to sow, church. And when we are willing to sow, this means that opportunities will come, which therefore means that we need to, second and final point, be ready when the opportunity arises. In Acts chapter 8, we read a story of an interaction between Philip, who's part of the church, and an Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip was called from a thriving ministry in Samaria to the wilderness of the Judean hills at noon in the desert. So at the point when the sun was its hottest and not many people were out, most unlikely of times and places, but Philip was obedient, and importantly, he was ready. And so he encounters the eunuch, and after being asked about the prophesied coming Messiah, the eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, Philip tells him about Jesus, who he was, what he did for us in going to the cross, that he was the Messiah. He took all of our sins upon himself and was crucified for us in love, getting rid of any separation between us and God. And so they came across a body of water, and the eunuch asked, can I be baptized? And so Philip baptizes him, symbolizing that everyone is worthy. There was no more separation for people from God. And so when I say sow your seed, I'm not saying that you have to go and stand on a street corner and preach at everyone that you come across. You don't have to go into a supermarket and grab the loudspeaker and preach into that and go, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. No. I mean, if you're an evangelist, hey, use your evangelism gift. Be that evangelist in the church. We need that. The church needs that. But we all have the ability to, through our life and through our speech, sow the seeds of love and grace and mercy in people's lives. Live your life in a way that is attractive and appealing. And when people ask, hey, why do you have so much joy? Why do you hope so much in dark times? Be ready to share. And if the Holy Spirit prompts you, we need to be ready to share and willing to share. And so some practical examples of sowing the seed that we do as a church. Pastor Rob talked about Angel Tree last week, where we can buy a gift that is going to bless a child whose parent is in prison. We've got the emergency food hampers that we give out all the time, always looking at that. Smiling at people. I mean, don't be creepy or weird or maybe grow a terrible mo. And I know that it can be hard with masks, but smile anyway, because it's a good habit to be in.
Maybe buy a coffee for the person behind you. Choose hope and joy over cynicism and despair. Sowing the seed can be directly sharing and speaking the love of God. It can also simply be a small act that brings joy in someone's life. And who knows? Maybe that person has asked God if he's real, and that small act confirms it to them. Church, we have an amazing message of love, of hope, of joy, of belonging, and of value. And we all have our own unique experiences of that. And it would be a shame to not share those experiences and invest in the people around us. So let us have a willingness to share and a readiness when the opportunity or the prompting comes. Let us be looking for these opportunities rather than trying to determine if someone is good soil and so miss the divine opportunity before us.